Speaking of music this morning, has anyone ever sang to you before? Happy birthday, right? So sing happy birthday, right, Paul? Happy birthday to you. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We won't go until we get some. I'm glad we don't have to hear that one for another 10 months. Michelle told me that when she was a little child, they had the Beatles song Michelle on a 45, and she thought that it was her dad singing to her when she was a little girl. Of course, if the guy singing that song was her dad, Michelle and I would be living in a much bigger house today and be having tea this afternoon together. We sing songs to each other throughout our lives. Dating couples sometimes have their song, their couple song. You hear it on the radio. Oh, that was our song. Remember that? You know. Michelle and I had a song in college. Roy Orbison had made a comeback in the late '80s, and he had a song called "You Got It." I don't know if you remember that one or not. Do I have to sing it? Anything you want, you got it. Anything you need. And we would sing that together and point at each other and lean into each other. You got it. In fact, we were traveling on I-64 heading toward Corydon to visit my mom. And that song came on Spotify. Hey, when it comes on, you got to sing it, right? And so you got it, leaning toward each other and singing it. Of course, Brianna's in the back. I'm sure rolling her eyes, about ready to gag. Later on, when our children were born, we sang songs to them at bedtime. And, of course, when they were sick, we would sing to them. I'm sure as many of you did as well. Throughout our lives, certain songs remind us of certain places or events or people who've come along in our life. Songs remind us of our first love, our first kiss. I remember skating to that one at the skating rink. Our first rock concert, I remember that song. Maybe your first visit to another city or a special moment with a friend. I think there's a reason American bandstand icon Dick Clark said famously, "Music is the soundtrack of our lives." Because music it's really powerful. Because I believe that the Spirit fills the music. That music is Spirit-filled. The same music that keeps the stars aligned and the planets in motion, the same Spirit that ushers in the coming spring, the same Spirit that breathes life into us every day, is the same Spirit that gives us music. My 11th grade physics teacher had an experiment for his students that we conducted together. And it confirmed this to me. Even when I was at that age, I realized something was happening here in this experiment. And he showed us that there is an order to the universe, and that this order was mathematical, and that this order was also musical. And it stuck with me. And I'm going to describe the experiment as far as I understood it in my unscientific mind. But he gave us all these matches, like real matches, which can you imagine today giving matches to a bunch of high schoolers and what they would do with that in the experiment. But he gave us matches, and we all had a white poster board laid down in front of the desk. And he said, "What I want you to do," and we were three or four of us around the poster board, he said, "I want you to start dropping matches just randomly on the poster board." Okay, so we started doing that, and then he said, "I want you to note where the heads of the matches land on the board." And so we put little marks next to the match heads there. And then we pulled the matches off, and he had us, and I don't remember how this worked, but it was amazing. I remember at the time. We started charting on a chart where these match heads were on each of the boards. And as we did that, and order, there was a pattern that began to form on the board, the chalkboard, as we began to take our poster boards and put them on there. And then he took that pattern and he transposed it into a musical scale, the pattern actually matched mathematically to a scale, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C. And he sat down on the piano and he played the matches that were randomly dropped that formed a pattern that we had charted on the chalkboard that he had transposed to music, and he played it on the piano, and I was like, wow! There is an order to the universe. Explain to me how. I have no idea. And actually, I've always wanted to go back and ask him, explain to me the formula. We need this formula. And years ago, I heard he had passed away, and I thought, I'm never going to get a chance in this world to ask him how there is so much order in what seems to be a chaotic world. And it's not only order, but it's music. That's in our world. That's at work. And if it's at work there, it's at work in our lives. And it's not in it we find, it's a he. It's he, the Spirit of God, creating that music for each of us. And so I knew that day, I don't think he realized how great that moment was in strengthening my faith, that I knew that there was a music maker in the world. And just as music is powerful in our lives today, it was also it's been very powerful throughout history. Throughout the history of the church, throughout the history of the scriptures, we find as well. But you know, just as interestingly as we're told to sing to one another, and that there is music in the world, and that the Spirit is the author of the music, we're also told to have moments of silence between the music. And just as God put a song into our mouth, we also find that there should be periods of rest between the music as well. And as we move into this season of Lent, we're encouraged to engage in what one person called a season of Selahs. Selah, S-E-L-A-H is how we spell it in English. It's a transliteration of a Hebrew word that's found many times in the Psalms. You've probably been reading the Psalms before and come across either somewhere midway through a Psalm or maybe at the end you'll be reading along and it will say Selah. We don't know for sure what Selah is or what it means, but it does show up 71 times in Psalms and 3 times in Habakkuk, and while we're not for sure what it is, we are pretty much convinced that it means to take a break, to pause, that there's an interruption. It suggests that breathing, perhaps, in the middle of a song. And so this is sort of how we understand the 40 days of Lent. Christians are to refrain from business as usual because we can get into the songs of our lives. And you each are moving according to a certain tune, probably more than one tune in your life. And you get into that tune and you start singing it, and there you go. Verse 1, verse 2, what was that, Henry VIII, the next verse, same as the first, or you just keep singing the same song over and over. Sometimes it's a beautiful song and you want to sing it over and over, but sometimes the Lord is saying, you got that one, let's try another one now. Let's try a harder one, let's try one that's a little more complex, or maybe you're singing a very ugly song. And the Lord's saying, let's set that one aside. That one hurts my ears. Let's try a more beautiful song for your life. And so we're encouraged to have periods of rest, of Selah, of reflection, of breathing, of taking a break before we begin the next tune, the next song for our life. And so this Lenten journey that we began on Ash Wednesday is a journey to not just to renew our spirit, but it's a desire to reconnect with the music maker, to remember there is a music maker, that you're not just going through this life accidentally or haphazardly or without purpose, but there is a music maker and he has a song. He has the music for our life and he wants us to sing it. And having spent some time in Selah moments, quiet moments, and resting, then we're to come out of Lent and reconnect with the music. Maybe it's a new song. Maybe it's a new direction that the Lord wants you to go with the song, with the soundtrack of your life. And we also find in the Bible that we, when we find our song, that we're to share it with one another. We're to sing this Spirit song together. A couple of times this is mentioned in the New Testament. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, he encourages followers of Christ to be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God at all times. And then in Colossians we read, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. So we're always to have a song in our heart. And as the Lord places that music there within us, that spirit that He wants us to convey, that part of His spirit that He wants us to convey into the world, we're to be sharing that with others at all times, with breaks in between for reflection. A few years ago, I was conducting a funeral service up in Scott County for a wonderful woman whose life was cut way too short by cancer, liver cancer. And she and her surviving spouse had been married for many years, decades. And they had shared, I knew them for 4 or 5 years, and they had just shared a very fun and loving relationship. And that afternoon at the funeral service, there had been a lot of tears that had been shed, as you would expect. And right before I was to stand up and give the eulogy, there was a song that I didn't know was going to be part of the service, and it came over the sound system. And it was a very familiar song, probably to most of you. It was the 1961 song by The Tokens, "The Lion Sleeps Tonight." So we're sitting there, and there's tears, and there's mourning and sobbing, and all of a sudden you hear, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dum-dum-da-da. And there was like this spirit that entered the room. Dee 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 dum dum. You know, come on. And there began to be chuckles there in the funeral home. There began to be little smiles come on people's faces, and just an awe. Like that's a sweet song. There had been so much sadness in that room, but then that song began to play, and there was even laughter that began when the "a wing go up, a wing go up, a wing go up, a wing go up." People kind of started swaying. You could see, you know, a few feet tapping, and there was just a genuine joy that filled that space. And I looked down at the spouse of the woman who had died, and he had this huge smile on his face, and I knew that was their song. That was their song. It was a beautiful moment, and anything I said after that I knew was just going to be noise. It had brought back the greatest and the sweetest moments of a great life with a wonderful woman, but music does that to us. It fills us with emotion. It captures moments in our lives. It leads us to celebration, and it can also help us mourn as it did that day at that funeral home. But individual songs end, followed by a Selah, a break, a rest, a transition between what was and what will be. The question that we can ask ourselves during Lent is, what do we do with the Selah moments of our life? Because it's critical what we do in between songs. Perhaps the song you're singing right now is wonderful. Maybe it's a great marriage. Maybe it's beautiful children, a great job, and then something unimaginable happens. The C word shows up and enters the picture, or divorce, or the plant or the division closes, and suddenly you're in a Selah moment. Your life is no longer what it was, but it's not yet what it will be? What will you do in the Selah moment? Will you keep the faith? Will you draw near to God? Will you remember that you're not alone? Will you remember that God always opens new doors for you? Or in your Selah moment, will you give in to despair? Will you give in to darkness, to hopelessness, and to fear? I think that's why the New Testament always instructs us to have a song in our hearts, to always be singing hymns to one another, even when we don't feel like it. It's an instruction to carry each other with a song, because sometimes you don't feel like singing, but I do. Other times I don't feel like singing, but you sing for me. It's an instruction to be lifted up by the song. And so we sing hymns to each other on Sunday. We sing them to God, but did you know we're singing them to each other? Or when there's a special song, or when Mary plays, we're reminded that the song, the Spirit, is always present. And though maybe you're at a Selah moment in your life, overhead, around you, you're reminded, oh, the song still sings. The music maker is still preparing the next movement for my life. And here's something to close with that we can take with us. Lent calls us to intentionally enter into Selah moments. That's what Lent is about. It's about taking a moment to step outside the music for just a moment. Maybe your song is very sweet at the present, or maybe it's unpleasant and cacophonic at the moment. Whether things are going well or poorly, we're called to just pause. Take a 4-beat rest, a 40-day break. And reflect on what's happening in life, and reflect that no matter what's happening in my life, whether I'm at a good moment or a low moment, that I'm always in God's arms. That God is always holding me, that the music maker is preparing the next song. It's interesting in the hymns that we sing, there's often, it begins with the glorious word of God, and then the next few verses will talk about a struggle. And then the last verse, especially in the old hymns, usually talks about the next life, the song that is to come, the song that will come beyond the grave. We're reminded in Lent to know that songs come and songs go, but always the music maker is singing and preparing the next song for us. So sing. Sing to one another. Sing to the Lord. Pause and reflect upon your song. Maybe the Lord has another one for you. Breathe and reflect and contemplate where you are and where God could take you if you would just let go and get lost and go wherever the music could take you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.